Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Exactly halfway between the start of the work week and the end of the work week. We call this the hump show, middle show of the work week. And this is the hour where you get to ask Amy anything. Send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also to our Facebook page. And Jay will get to those a half hour from now. So look for the bright orange box with the yellow thought bubble. That's all you need. There's nothing else like it on social media. We've got the only bright orange box with a yellow thought bubble in the entirety of Twitter and Facebook and probably Instagram and TikTok as well, because it's too cool for those sites. Thanks so much for being part of our work week. You help us get through it. I know you certainly help me when I get all your posts about the turkey or my trip to Syracuse or various stories that I tell. I know you guys care far more about that than you do about anything I have to say about sports. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Still to come this hour, Stanley Cup playoffs. We've got a couple of teams on the verge. Will we get game sevens in this first round? Because the NBA, I'm not feeling the potential there, except for maybe Kings, Warriors, the critical, pivotal, crucial, all important game five between Kings and Warriors takes place later on Wednesday. But you know, not only did we have QB news on my last two Mondays in Syracuse, we had some actual breaking QB news on Tuesday. We want to get to all of it here as we start this third hour of the show.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh my goodness, it's tossed! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it! Touchdown, LA!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it!
Yeah.
Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City! And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone, touchdown, Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
It's still the biggest story in the NFL. Oh, as a side note, some guy on our Facebook page said, I'm glad the trade is done so we can get back to football. Huh. What football? And also, isn't that football? Let the truth not get in the way of a good rant on social media.
Who are the Jets playing this weekend?
39-year-old Aaron Rodgers will be introduced on Wednesday as a member of the New York Jets. Hey, Joe Douglas, any qualms at all, any at all about whether or not Aaron can still play at the highest level?
He's not very far removed from back-to-back MVPs.
COVID MVPs.
You still have someone that maybe didn't play at 100% throughout the year, but still performed at
a high
level.
That's a polite way of putting it. He was my fantasy football quarterback. I won the championship in spite of him. That's the line about Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, last year in the regular season, because the Packers did not make the playoffs, his completion percentage was down a tick from his career number, 65%. He threw for about 3,700 yards, had 26 touchdowns, a dozen interceptions. But if I remember correctly, didn't he have multiple interceptions against the Lions in the last game of the regular season at Lambeau. How about this? His QB rating was way down to a 91. That's far below his career average of 104. So it, yes, was definitely a drop-off year for Aaron Rodgers. Not all on him. It has to do with the people around him as well. We know he'll be taking his snaps from Connor McGovern because the center for the Jets just signed a new deal himself earlier in the week, and he's excited about welcoming Aaron to the fold and also the impact on that other QB in the Jets locker room.
Well, I'm excited. You know, this team, the young talent it has, the defense it has, is primed to win. And, you know, Zach's a heck of a player, and he'll do do amazing down the line, especially, you know, getting taught by one of the best to ever do it. So I think it's good for everybody in the organization. Everyone's really excited about it.
Joe Douglas is the general manager of the Jets, as we've pointed out. Just want to reiterate that because, of course, Zach Wilson is now his responsibility. So what about the impact on Zach from this future Hall of Fame QB?
Him having the opportunity to really shadow and be with a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback every day, every hour he's in the building, that's a great opportunity and a great experience.
I got to be honest, I'm really surprised that Zach Wilson is still on the Jets roster. I suppose because he's cheaper, what, going into year number three, it's not like they have to pick up his fifth-year option, anything like that. No, instead, they can't afford to let him sit there, and maybe he does benefit by having an adult in the room, if you will. Although sometimes Aaron uses that term adult loosely.
How could you possibly say that?
So the Jets are perfectly happy to give up what they've given up because they believe it can lead to a Super Bowl. I think the big question is, how do the Jets now stack up in the AFC? And we won't know any of the answers to that until we see these teams on the field in the East Division, of course. But, man, it is a tough conference. It's got the defending Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs, who, let's be fair, every time it seems like someone else is challenging the Chiefs for supremacy, it's like Teflon. They bounce off, and it really doesn't make an impact, at least not these last few years. Though they did run into some issues with the Bengals, right, until this most recent playoff run. Speaking of the Bengals and quarterbacks, Joe Burrow has been seen his fifth-year option picked up, so he's been secured by the Bengals for one more season. Not a surprise, obviously, because if they don't get a deal done, an extension done, well, of course, they want to be sure that he's already locked in for 2024, and his fifth-year option will land him $29.5 million in fully guaranteed money, far below the going rate for starting quarterbacks in the NFL. But now that the Jalen Hurts domino has dropped and now we know what the Eagles will pay Jalen, that gives the Joe Burrow camp a point of reference, a framework for moving forward. So Jalen's getting $51 million annually, right? So Joe Burrow, 29.5, bargain basement price in 2024 if they get to that point. But as for Jalen, coming off a career year and taking it all in stride.
It's a Philly thing. I mean, it's different. It's different. Philly. It's a Philly thing. I mean, it's different. It's different. You know, and for professional sports, to see them out there tailgating, the enthusiasm they have, the everything, you know, I can't really go nowhere around here, but that's the sacrifice we make. That's the sacrifice we make because I love this place.
Happy to be in Philadelphia over the life of this extension or however long it guarantees them, and they're thrilled to have him. I mean, they're more than happy to pay the money, $255 million over the life of the contract, but the guaranteed is over $179, and for Jalen, you just got to understand the passion that it's the lifeblood in Philadelphia, this Eagles football. And yeah, it doubles down on the city being unique among cities in the United States.
And really thankful for this opportunity, not only to lead this team, but to lead this city And Philadelphia is a very special place and a place that I want to be for a very long time. I know I've walked through the fire time and time again. And in the end, it's always made me stronger.
It's a special moment. You know, I think that franchises go through special moments, and this is one for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's crucial, no matter what, that you can find your quarterback for the future, for the present and the future, and to have that person be as sterling a character and as passionate about his craft and as dedicated as this young 24-year-old is remarkable. And it takes a lot to get to that. I don't ever underestimate the personal qualities or the talent qualities of somebody who has what Jalen has. It's rare and it's not easy.
Howie Roseman, general manager of the Eagles, raving about his quarterback. And again, they're thrilled to have him locked up, to have the extension done. As we say, the Bengals have to work on Joe Burrow. At some point after that, Justin Herbert, we'll see what other quarterbacks line up to get extensions. But there's security there. There's stability there. And the way that he played, knowing that an extension was on the line, put his best foot forward, helped to drive the Eagles to the Super Bowl, where he had a career game, even though they ended up losing. So all of this I love. Of course, the job not done for one Jalen Hurts.
Money is nice. Championships are better.
Oh, boom. As in mic drop, boom, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so those teams, those sad saps in the NFL draft that are seeking quarterbacks because they want to be where the Eagles are. That includes the Carolina Panthers. New head coach Frank Reich was asked and continues to be asked whether or not the owner and he have talked about who they should choose at number one.
He actually said, came in my office yesterday at some point and asked the question. You know, it's kind of like a proposal of sorts, you know. And I said yes. No, there is consensus, and we're excited.
Who is it?
We'll announce that Thursday at about 8 o'clock.
Okay. Yes, they do know who they're going to announce. In terms of consensus, and he's referring to consensus among the decision makers, the owner, the general manager, of course, the head coach. That's who he's talking about, that there is consensus about who they will select. But the consensus outside of the Panthers war room is that it will be Alabama QB or Alabama product Bryce Young. So then we'll see what happens after that. If you missed my conversation with Joe DeLeon, who's an NFL draft analyst, joined us from LA in hour number one, we're going to bring part of that back next hour, but it's also on our podcast if you're wondering his thoughts on this rumor about C.J. Stroud scoring low on a particular segment of the QB test at the Combine, but also why he believes that Bryce Young is the best fit for the Carolina Panthers. I remember this time last year, we knew that Kenny Pickett was a Pittsburgh Steeler, and we wondered how long it would take for Pickett to take over as the starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Remember, they had brought in, not Mason Rudolph, shoot, who did they bring in from the Bears? Oh my gosh, why it's going to drive me crazy.
Mitch Trubisky,
thank you. Oh, and he was with the Bills after he was with the Bears. But that's where I remember Mitch from. Remember, he was selected number two overall. My goodness, my football brain, it still needs to warm up a little bit. But do you all remember the narrative around Kenny Pickett? His really small hands. It was like an act out of Seinfeld, this bit about Kenny's really small hands. So he tells the Pivot podcast that he tried to resize his hands.
Does the hand size stuff get on your nerves? Do you sit and look at your hands like, come on?
I stretched them out a little bit, man. I was doing some exercises. I got them, I think it was like 8.5 at Combine. I got them to like 8.625 or something at Pro Day.
Oh,
so
no.
Like for whatever no. That's worth, man, I was trying everything I could. You couldn't. I was sleeping in like a splint to like stretch my hand out.
What? Come on, that's ridiculous. You can't actually stretch out your hands.
I didn't think that was possible, especially since he's like a grown adult now at this point. His bones are not growing anymore. I guess he is. I don't know. I stand corrected.
Oh, my goodness. Go Go Gadget Hands.
Can't say enough about our young Cube.
At least he didn't urinate down his leg. All right, so Kenny Pickett was wearing splints and all. That sounds super healthy. How about not worry about it, because you know you can still throw the football, grip the football, on the Pivot podcast. Now, he was selected early on by the Pittsburgh Steelers, where Brock Purdy was selected dead freaking last. And this is fun. He was on the New Heights podcast with Travis and Jason Kelce, and he recalls his draft day experience.
I didn't think I was going, you know, the first day or two. It was really, you know, day three. And for me, it was like, where am I going to be at? I didn't really care how I got there. I just wanted to get there and have an opportunity. And so, you know, man, just waiting all day for a call. You know, the Niners had called me before the seventh round and told me we got one more pick. And so I went on my phone, Googled it, and I saw it was the last pick. And I was like, oh, man, about to be Mr. Irrelevant.
It is fun, though, to hear Kenny Pickett and then Brock Purdy each on podcasts with fellow pro athletes or former pro athletes. And one guy got selected number 20 overall in the first round, right? So Kenny Pickett, number 20 overall, heir apparent. Remember, played at Pitt, so a local product, knew Ben Roethlisberger. The coaches were really familiar with him. He ends up going 20th. He doesn't have to wait very long at all. His name is called on Thursday night under the lights. Brock Purdy wasn't sure he was going to get chosen. The Niners called him on the last day, which would be Saturday, and told him, hey, we're going to pick you dead last. And yet they both end up as starters last season. And because the Niners are more championship ready, they go all the way to the NFC Championship with a rookie starter. Not a guy who was selected number 20. Now, Pickett's got a bright future as long as he stays healthy. I love what we saw from Pickett. The Steelers made the right choice. But isn't that crazy? From the category of you can't make this stuff up, it's impossible not to root for Brock or Kenny even. Both these guys seem to be great young men and really are attacking with tenacity and all the coachability that they can bring forward. Their coaches rave about them. So it's great. Can't wait to see what happens in year number two. All right, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Lol Radio, what we're asking you is to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. That comes up, about 20 minutes from now, straight ahead. A little bit of, if I laced up the skates, I look like a baby giraffe on skates. However, I do love playoff hockey. And we've got some Game 7s a-brewing if these series continue on the same paths. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Our Tump Show. Jay, what is that?
Our Tump Show.
No, there was a P on the end.
Our Tump Show. What could that be?
Here's what it is now. It's Our Dumb Show because I'm an idiot. I don't know. I had gotten through the first 2+ hours without making up any words. I didn't really embarrass myself, even though I've got one kind of a hellacious sleep schedule since Sunday morning. The wheels just, they completely fell off. Not just fell off, but I blew multiple tires at the same time. The Tump Show.
A tump is a small rounded hill or a clump of trees, shrubs, or grass.
I need to shrink back into a clump of trees right now. Like Bart Simpson, or was it Homer? Homer.
Oh, right.
Shrinking into the hedge.
The Tump Show.
The Tump Show with Homer Simpson. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's McDavid, centering, one timer, score! Here's Fogel to McLeod. Backdoor tap-in. What a finish. Brett Kulak activating and bearing it from the left circle. 3-1. Edmonton on Kulak's first goal in his postseason career.
I thought we got out of the gate quick and asserted the way we wanted the game to be played. They punched back. They're a good team. And, we stuck with it and continued to put hard miles on their team. And we found goals up and down our lineup. So it was, I thought, a well-played game.
Getting you to the good half of your week.
It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
The Edmonton Oilers double up the Kings 6-3. And as you hear from Jay Woodcroft, the Oilers did a lot of things really well in taking a 3-2 lead in that playoff series. Leon Draisaitl, Evander Kane, Zach Hyman, Brett Kulak, all scoring for Edmonton. Connor McDavid, a couple of assists in there. So as we're talking about the Stars being out in full force in the NBA on Tuesday night, same thing for the Edmonton Oilers. Not quite so comfortable for the Dallas Stars. This is all about Jake Ettinger.
He'll wide, fire, save, made, rebound, score!
Hey, football fans, Baldy here. And I'm doing something special for this year's NFL Draft. Jason Lock and Four and I are hosting the 2023 Odyssey NFL Draft Show. So join us on the first night of the draft, talking with local experts from our Odyssey podcast from across the country. And leading up to the draft, check out our podcast, In the Huddle. I'm going to give you the inside scoop on the best prospects for your favorite team. It all starts tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern on the free Odyssey app.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Mason Marchment with his first Stanley Cup playoff goal as a member of the Stars, and Dallas extends their lead.
It turns out to be a shutout. And by the way, I said Ettinger thinking, see, this is where the wheels have come off horribly. Our former producer, Dave, his last name was Ettinger, so that's totally my fault. Jake Ettinger, he pitches a shutout. And really cool for the Dallas Stars because they're at home and you can hear the fans behind them. And so it's been a series and that's kind of had back and forth momentum. Very often happens in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but what a moment for him as he helps the Stars to blank the Wild. Peter DeBoer, I'm not going to give him the wrong name, proud of his goalie.
He sure doesn't look like a 24-year-old goalie. You know, he's doing some special things for being at the stage of the career he's at.
Got lots of standing ovations from the Stars fan. And here's something you need to know. This, is critical. Most importantly, Minnesota 0-for-3 on the power play. And on the power play, the Wild, and all of those power plays came in the second period. So it was a barrage for Ottinger. He stopped 9 shots. It was like one of those rapid fire type of a power plays where the Wild are getting look after look after look, and he has to be on his toes and moving around and locked in laser focus. But on the first 2 power plays for Minnesota in that second period, he's got 9 shots that come bang, 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 bang. And so he's able to preserve that shutout. He's able to preserve that lead for the Dallas Stars. And so at 24 years old, we're seeing him grow up before our eyes as a goalie who is playing the best of his career. And this is what we talk about with the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? Even if it's a goalie who doesn't have a ton of experience, but it can be locked in, even if it's a mismatch, maybe on paper, if you've got a goalie who is playing the way that Ottinger is, if you've got a goalie who is playing as though the net and the post can be your friend, but as though the net is teeny tiny and nothing is getting by him, it's a whole different type of a game. It really, at times, it doesn't even matter what you throw up in front of him because he can see everything. And a lot of it is so much about the vision. Now, of course, the Wild right now trailing, so will be facing elimination in game number 6. Their head coach, Dean Evason, I mean, they got to bring everything they've got because there's no tomorrow.
We didn't have our best stuff, obviously, tonight. So, yeah, 2 days. We expect our group to be excited, jacked to get home, win one game, and see what happens in 7.
Tyler Seguin and the Dallas Stars They've got the advantage in game five. They preserve it. And actually, Sagan's got now, while we're talking about power plays, four different power play goals in this series. And so he's the guy. Whatever you're doing on the power play, Minnesota, he's the one you need to be tracking. One more last night. The Carolina Hurricanes do not eliminate the Islanders. It's been a bit of a lopsided series. Not completely, but at times it's looked like a mismatch. And the Islanders are able to extend that series. Thought we were going to get that with a couple of, well, we did get it with the Atlanta Hawks. So we got it in the East. There we go. East NHL, East NBA. We got it with the Atlanta Hawks. Thought we might get it with a couple of the Western Conference series. But the Clippers, after they rally from 20 points down against the Suns in quarter number four, they actually come all the way back from four, from the fourth quarter from being 20 points down, though they ultimately fall. And then in the other series, we saw Minnesota push Denver to the edge, but both those series are done now. Not feeling confident, not supremely confident about a game seven in the first round of the NBA. Though, if we can continue this punch counterpunch with the Warriors and as the defending champions, we know they certainly are a very tough out, and the Sacramento Kings, then maybe there. Not sure if you heard, but De'Aaron Fox, he is likely to play in Game 5 on Wednesday, so we'll be talking about it this time tomorrow, but he does have a broken hand, and so he's going to have to play. Ja Morant's hand is not broken, but he's dealing with the pain, right, of that soft tissue injury. Right now, you've got guys who are doing whatever they can just to be out there on the court. So they've got to take care of business back home in Sacramento, right? So this is a game five where they've got the advantage as a three seed in the West.
We felt like we did enough to win last game. I mean, they felt like they did enough to win game one. So at the end of the day, like, we're still even three-game series now. We have to take care of home court. I mean, we won every quarter but the third quarter. I mean, they hit us in the mouth in the third quarter, and they were able to finish the game off. But at the end of the day, we still gave ourselves opportunities to win. We won the rebounding battle. I think we won the second chance points, and that's what you want to do, especially going on the road. So for us, coming out, control what we can control, and that's limiting their second chance points. And for us, it's be physical defensively and then try to offense rebound.
I said broken hand. I think it's broken finger, not broken hand, but likely to have it wrapped or likely to at least try to keep it out of the line of fire, right? So the problem when everybody knows you have a broken finger, there might be a little bit of extracurricular activity surrounding your finger, protected at all costs. But De'Aaron Fox is playing extremely well. Had this conversation, well, kind of, I wouldn't call it a real conversation, but one student in my class at Syracuse decided that Fox has earned the right to be called just De'Aaron. I don't think so. I don't think we're there yet, but he did have 38 points in their last game. He's obviously playing at a very high level. He's sparking the Sacramento Kings, and game five is humongous. I haven't seen the updated stats in the last couple of years, but generally it's about 82% of the time when a tie series goes into a game five, best of seven, the winner of game five ultimately prevails 82%-ish of the time. Don't quote me on that number, but it's right around there. The numbers may have changed in the last couple of years slightly, but we're talking about game sevens or seven game series where they're tied going into a game five. So this is where the Kings have to take care of their business on the home court. Now, Steve Kerr knows his Warriors, they have been abysmal on the road this season. They dropped the first two games in Sacramento, but only 11 wins away from Chase Center all year long. It's awful. I mean, it's embarrassing for an NBA champion, but they're not going to think about De'Aaron Fox, his status. They're trying to do what they can to reverse that road trend.
I think Sacramento's crowd will make sure that we don't let our guard down. They will help us quite a bit in that regard. Yeah, I mean, it's different in April and May, June than it is in January, December. If we let our guard down, there's something seriously wrong with us. So yeah, we'll be ready to go.
I absolutely love that. If we let our guard down, there's something seriously wrong with us. Yes, agreed. There was something seriously wrong with you all season long in road games. Oh my gosh, you're talking about a championship pedigree. They looked abysmal on the road this year. I know I just used that word, but it fits. If we don't take this one seriously, if we let our guard down, there's something seriously wrong with us.
There's something seriously wrong with us.
That's a great drop moving forward. This is the last game of a quadruple header on Wednesday. It's a wacky Wednesday, a hump show Wednesday. You've got New York and Cleveland, where the Knicks can take care of business in Cleveland. If they can beat the Cavaliers, they're on to the next round. You've got the Lakers also trying to eliminate the Memphis Grizzlies, another one of those potential upsets, like the 8-seed Miami over Milwaukee. But Memphis and Milwaukee have the benefit of hosting those game fives. Can they protect their houses? Can they protect the house? And then finally, it's Golden State, Sacramento. So the first three games, like the three games on Tuesday, are all possible closeouts. Whereas Golden State, Sacramento, right now, the only one that's sitting at 2-2. So that's the one a lot of people are talking about, looking forward to. Steph with a huge performance yet again in game number four. And Draymond Green was back. He did not start. That's another question. Will Draymond be in the starting lineup? All right, one more piece of NBA news just quickly. Paolo Banchero, the Duke product, wins NBA Rookie of the Year on Tuesday. Dominated. So this is how you do all but sweep it. 98 of 100 first place votes. And out of 500 possible points, Paolo ends up with 494 points. My gosh. So yeah, just shy of unanimous, pretty darn close, but averaged 20 points, 7 rebounds, nearly 4 assists this season. So good for him. Congratulations to Paolo. All right, straight ahead, your chance to ask Amy anything. So Jay will be checking out the questions on Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page too. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco. I almost said Marco Banchero. What is my brain has just come apart in the last couple of minutes. From the Tump Show to just everything else that has fallen out of me since then. The brain is like a plate of spaghetti. It's all intertwined.
Uncanny, the amount of people who work here whose names sound like people we're talking about this segment.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing. Help save lives. And so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Amazing.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
It is that time of the week again. Man, these hump shows, or tump shows as I affectionately call them, they come rapidly when I got to do this commute up and back to Syracuse. One more week, and I can't believe I'm going to be judging and grading final projects. Actually, my students have to do an entire radio segment. One young man wanted it to be 5 minutes tops. No, it's got to be 10 to 15. He thought asking for more than 5 minutes was too much, and I almost said out loud that maybe radio's not for you, but I did not. I'd want to crush him and his soul. So instead, he better come up with 10 to 15. It's going to be interesting. We're going to listen to them in class.
It's live?
Meaning, no, it's not live. No, we're going to listen to them in class.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're going to go, like, in front of, like, the class? Or they're
no, they're going it. To pre-record it. Okay. We're going to listen to them in class. Crazy, right?
It's fun.
It's After Hours. Not for them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It is time for Ask Amy Anything, and Jay's got, well, he had a lot of questions to sift through.
Well, we got to start with some of these questions based on your trip to Syracuse, of course.
Oh, okay. My trip.
David wants to know, are you a snacker when you drive?
Oh, absolutely. I can't do anything without snacks and drinks, so I take a cooler with me to Syracuse. Now, most critically is that it has my coffee in it for not just Monday evening, but then also Tuesday morning when I have to drive back. But yes, I also take snacks, and generally my go-tos are goldfish, cashews and dried cranberries, apples sometimes. lime chips if I'm feeling particularly salty. This past week, I took pepperoni and wheat thins because they're a great, and a piece of cheese because they're a great snack. And then also we'll take like a turkey wrap or something along those lines.
All right, and Greg wants to know, with your stint of being a professor at Syracuse, would you ever want to go back to school?
No, absolutely. First of all, I'm not paying someone else to educate me. I know all I need to know for my chosen career. So no, I already have a master's degree. I don't need another one. And also, who has time for that? I can barely keep up with the jobs as they are. So no, I'm never going back to school. I'm absolutely and completely done. In fact, I know that if I hadn't done my master's degree right on the heels of my bachelor's degrees, I never would have gone back to school. Because once I was out, I was out. I was never doing homework. Well, we do homework, but I was never writing papers again.
I hear that. And James wants to know now, what has been your favorite part or is your favorite part of being a professor so far?
I think the connections with the students, being able to answer their questions, and also seeing not just hearing the verbal participation, but also seeing the nonverbal communication and how engaged and interested they are. One of the directors in the office that hired me has indicated that the students really love me, which I hope is the case. But beyond that, I'm glad they like me. That means they'll give me a good review. I want them to learn. I want them to have the tools they need to build a radio show from scratch whenever they get the opportunity. So I feel like it's working. I'm equipping them with the tools that they need.
Well, just hearing a little bit of the students who were watching it on the show the other night and 2 weeks ago, they all seem to be very engaged, interested, and so you seem like you're doing a great job. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
So now move on from that a little bit. This one was interesting. Brian wants to know, what was your worst sports injury?
I've never had any, really. I, of course, have had jammed fingers. I've banged knees, so I've had bruised knees. The only thing that ever really gave me any trouble, when I was in high school, I was going up for a rebound. As I was coming down with the ball, a bony little guard with her knee, she was jumping, but she had her knee open like she's doing a can opener in a pool. She had one knee up. Don't ask me why she was jumping like that, but she was jumping with one knee up in the air. And as I'm coming down with the ball, she never had a chance to get the ball. As I'm coming down with the ball, her knee lands in the small of my back. So I dealt with some pain. I wasn't going to go to a doctor because I didn't want the doctor to tell me something was seriously wrong and I couldn't play. So instead, I used heat packs and just made sure I warmed up. And also during games, couldn't really sit for long because the back would tighten up. But it didn't bother me in college. Once I got done playing and took a couple of months off, it was okay.
Oh, Jermaine.
I've never broken a bone though, so that's never nice. Never happened.
Jermaine wants to know: are you a sneakerhead?
I am specific about my running sneakers. I also have hiking boots. I guess those could qualify, though they're not really sneakers. But I'm an Asics gel running girl, and I'm pretty anal retentive about having not just my next pair, but the next pair after that in-house. So because I go through them so quickly, and then I have a process. I use them until the tread is getting low or they're not providing enough support. I turn them into walking shoes. And then once they're done, if I need a new pair of lawn shoes, they'll become my lawn mowing shoes or they get chucked. So I go through them pretty quickly. I probably go through two pairs every 6 months. Definitely go through three pairs a year. Sometimes, depending on how much I'm running, might even go through more. Asics gel.
We'll keep it here with the sneakers and the Asics gel theme because you do have a half marathon coming up, which you are training for.
A week from Sunday.
And Gut Boy wants to know, do you run in the rain while you're training or do you have a preference of temperature when you run? Kind of like a two-part question there.
I did run in the rain this past Sunday. I had to do a 90-minute run and it rained on me while I was going. Thankfully, it didn't rain for long. It was more just kind of a shower. Wait, remind me the second part. Why do I feel like I was going to answer the wrong question?
Do you have a preference in temperature?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I actually prefer it to be upper 40s, low 50s when I run because that seems to give me extra energy. I'm exhilarated that way. I don't need it to be sunny, but if it's sunny, that's fine. But I prefer 40s, 50s, cloudy so that you don't heat up too much.
And Eric wants to know, have you taken any precautions for future turkey encounters while running?
No, but no. I will never take a turkey's photo again, though, I'll tell you that much. By the way, the ugly photo of the turkey, I mean, it's a photo of a turkey, but he's fairly ugly. He's got a blue head, which I think is interesting. it's only been like 200 times by people. So forget like whatever photo I could post of myself, my next selfie. No, the turkey's far more popular.
He's very menacing.
He is, with his blue head.
So this one was different because people sometimes ask, what's the longest you ever run? Mike wants to know, what's the longest time and distance you've ever driven in one session?
From Atlanta to Houston in one day took me 15 and a half hours. There were a couple stops in there for gas. Obviously, they let the dog out. But yeah, I went through a massive rainstorm in Baton Rouge, which slowed me down as well. There was a huge traffic jam. For those of you who've driven through Baton Rouge, I think it's I-10, maybe I-10. You know there's like a 90-degree turn. And because of the rain, the traffic was stopped. Nobody was moving. It was crazy. Anyway, so 15 and a half hours in one day was my longest drive ever.
That is insane.
Yeah, no, it was pretty insane. But I couldn't stop 2 hours from Houston. I had to keep going. So
once you're that close.
Yeah.
And Paul wants to know. Oh, excuse me. Al wants to know. As a play-by-play announcer, who would be your dream color analyst? Anyone, ooh, I guess, past or present.
That's fun. Well, if I was doing a basketball game, because basketball is my play-by-play, I would love to have Draymond Green as my analyst. Or, let's see, if I could go past, Larry Bird's not a great talker. I think I'd go a Magic Johnson, maybe, or a Michael Jordan. Trying to think who else would be just kind of, would be really unique and interesting. No to Dennis Rodman.
Michael Jordan?
I said Michael Jordan. Oh. Yeah, so Michael Jordan would be fun, too. I'm trying to think of someone current that I would love to have as an analyst who's a great talker. Who's a good talker? Oh, how about Dylan Brooks? No, just kidding.
Well, when he feels like it.
Who's a good talker right now?
Maybe Clay, your boy?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Clay's not a... Yeah, he can get going and be a good talker, but...
He could be a little awkward.
I didn't want to go... Nice, spoken by someone who's the king of awkward sometimes.
I'm not trying to be a color analyst.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right, moving on.
Here's another one similar. Sand Jedi Cow, how's that name? Wants to know, is there a particular athlete that you've never met that you would love to meet and interview?
Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes would be amazing. John Elway would have been passed because he was my favorite quarterback growing up. So yeah, those are two examples from the NFL realm. Larry Fitzgerald, too, I've always wanted to interview.
That's a good one. One more here before rapid fire. David wants to know, when you read a book, do you prefer the physical book, the Kindle, or the audiobook style?
I do not do audiobooks. Kindle for traveling because it's easier, but I mostly prefer getting the books from the library or reading books I can hold.
All right, and we'll close out here with some rapid fire. Plain or sparkling water?
Plain.
Putter or driver?
Putter.
Home run or small ball?
For me, small ball.
T-shirts or sweatshirts?
T-shirts.
French or Spanish?
Español, por favor.
Everest or Kilimanjaro?
Oh, Everest.
Pickup or delivery?
Pickup.
Iced tea or hot tea?
Neither. I do not like tea.
Bumper cars or bumper boats?
Bumper boats? Anything to do with the water?
And last one here, Coke or Pepsi?
I don't like Pepsi products. I'm a Coke girl, a Coke Zero girl, if you will. Now that's my question. When I'm on planes, I'm traveling, or in restaurants, do you have Coke Zero? The answer has become more frequently yes. Thanks for your questions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show, CBS Sports Radio.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.